Hello and welcome to a topsy-turvy episode of The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers, young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So, to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things you can expect to hear in today's story. Gun violence. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up
the Cryptid Catalog.
Bom, bom, bom. Okay, so obviously, everyone, I am not the magnificent Karina. Who am I?
Daddy.
Yes, and I'm joined by the most excellent...
Killian.
So, Mama is not feeling very well today. She needs to rest her throat. So, Daddy is stepping in and taking over the reins on an early April Fool's Day episode. So, thank you very much for being here with me. I'm excited to be...
Wait, today's April Fool's?
No. Today is March 5th, but we're recording this ahead of time. So, we have things in a... like, so everything can, like, be, like, scheduled ahead of time. So, ready to dive into the story?
Yes.
Okay. Killian, picture this. There's a noise outside the window. It makes a crunch, crunch, crunch sound. Are those leaves and sticks broken beneath a stranger's feet? Or is that the sound of something being slowly crushed between the jaws of a massive, toothy monster? What would you do if you heard a sound like that outside of your window?
I would run.
You'd run? Well... Killian, today we're going to do things a little differently. Today, I'm going to tell you a story first. It's a story that's a little close to home for us, literally. It's a story about a family encountering a group of dangerous creatures just 30 minutes up the road in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Hopkinsville?
Mm-hmm. Today, we talk about the Hopkinsville Goblin Encounter. Can you read that for me?
Let's open the Cryptid Catalog and find out more.
Bum, 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 bum.
They're going to put it in there anyway.
Oh, yeah. So, before we kick off our story, I want to give a big thank you to our friend Elizabeth and Parker for suggesting today's cryptid topic. Thank you, Elizabeth and Parker.
Thank you, Elizabeth and Parker.
Now, without further ado, let's jump into our story. This is a dramatic retelling of the events that took place one hot Kentucky night in 1955. This is titled...
The Hopkinsville Goblin.
Good job. Just 7 miles north of downtown Hopkinsville sits the small village of Kelly, Kentucky. Back then, it was nothing more than a church, a few houses, and miles of rolling hills filled with horses, cows, and tobacco leaves. It was a warm Sunday afternoon in August 1955. Billy Ray Taylor and his wife, June Taylor, as well as Lucky Sutton and Vera Sutton, had a few days off from work and decided to spend some time at the Sutton family farm in Kelly, Kentucky. They were a group of traveling carnival workers, and their carnival had set up shop close by. And in desperate need of a good home-cooked meal and some front porch conversation, group loaded up and hit the winding Kentucky roads until they came to a long dirt driveway that led up to the Sutton farmhouse. Arriving at home, the four travelers were met with the food they so desperately wanted. All in all, there were now about 15 people in the Sutton house that evening. As the sun began to set, Billy Ray offered to go collect some water at the nearby well. Grabbing a water pail and walking out into the humid night air, Billy Ray looked up casually to the stars. No sooner had he turned to look back at his path than a burst of color bloom overhead and something massive came falling out of the sky, screeching as it flew. Billy Ray stopped and looked up, stunned by the event. Whatever it was, it crashed hard into the tree line about 100 feet in front of him. Billy Ray dropped the water pail and rushed back to the Sutton house to tell them what just happened. Back at the house, Billy Ray explained that something big crashed in the forest. No one else had heard the screeching or saw the bright lights. They joked that Billy Ray must have been drinking, but he insisted that he hadn't touched a drop that night. The house was settling in for the evening, but Billy Ray's nerves were still on edge. The kids went off to bed and the adults started playing cards and talking. In a brief moment of quiet, someone heard the sound of scratching on the walls outside the house. Billy Ray stood up and grabbed a rifle, making his way toward the front door. Stepping out, he called for help as he leveled his gun at the strange goblin-like figure that came wandering out of the tree line and moved quickly towards him. The creature was about 3 feet tall, gray-skinned, had a big head with two tall, pointed ears and long arms that almost touched the ground. Its hands ended in long, sharp, clawed fingers. With a banshee scream, the creature charged for Billy Ray. Boom! The rifle let out a bullet that went slicing through the space between him and the monster. The bullet landed true and went straight through the beast's heart. But the goblin didn't stop. The bullet did nothing to it. Someone shouted from behind Billy Ray. He looked over his shoulder just in time. There, on his right, nails dug into the wood of the wall like a grotesque spider, was another one of the creatures. It lifted a long, clawed hand, preparing to swipe at Billy Ray. But June grabbed at Billy Ray's shirt just in time and pulled him back inside. Lucky slammed the door shut and held his shoulder to it. A breath later, the charging goblin slammed into the door, rattling the whole house. But Lucky held strong as the creature slashed and fought against the door, trying to break in. From the back of the house, the shrill sound of nails scraping on glass filled the air. Upstairs, the children began screaming about glowing eyes in the window. Thundering feet danced on the tin roof. The Sutton house was being attacked from all sides. Lucky grabbed a shotgun and burst into the back room. There was another creature running its sharp claws along the glass window, toying with it. Lucky lifted the window enough for the barrel of the shotgun to fit through and placed the barrel right up to the monster's chest. Kaboom! Lucky smiled. The blast sent the creature flying away from the house and into a stack of logs. Lucky's ears were ringing from the shot as he watched in stunned terror. The creature lifted itself up onto its elbows, shook its head like a wet dog, and then leaped up. It walked around the side of the house like nothing had happened to it at all. Billy rushed into the room where the kids were sleeping. Sure enough, four pairs of glowing blue eyes peered in through the windows. Some of the eyes seemed to swirl like a hypnosis spiral. Billy threw a blanket over the window and shouted for the kids to get to the living room. Rushing away from the window, Billy heard the sound of overlapping whispers coming from the other side. Frightened, but with people to protect, Billy slammed the bedroom shut and slid a chair under the doorknob, barricading it closed. June grabbed a fire poker and raced up the stairs and found the attic window open. There, crawling like a spider off the roof and upside down through the open window, came a long, snake-like version of the creature's. It clung to the ceiling and scuttled around like a stink bug. Its legs clinging to the rafters, it bent down backwards in an unnatural way and reached for June. Its thin lips parting like a zipper to reveal rows of sharp, grinding teeth. Strands of purple saliva leaked out and over its eyes and pooled on the floor below. June lifted the fire poker over her head and began swinging. Each strike sank deep into the creature's face and outstretched hands. It felt like she was striking a rubber tire, each blow digging deep into the creature, but then being pushed back like it was bouncing off. June lifted the fire... I know, right? June lifted the fire poker like a spear and jabbed hard into the creature's eye. Another banshee-like wail filled the attic, and June dropped to her knees, covering her ears from the shrill sound. When she looked up, she saw the creature slither out the window and back to the roof. Slamming the window shut, she charged back downstairs. For 2 hours, the Suttons and Taylors barricaded the windows, blocked doors, and took shots at the strange invaders trying to enter their house. Lucky looked out the window. The 12 to 15 of the creatures were all crowded around the back of the house. Lucky grabbed the keys to the two trucks parked out front and shouted to the rest of the family that they needed to get out of there. Like a bolt of lightning, Everyone raced to the trucks. The tires squealed as they hit the pavement and raced the 7 miles to the Hopkinsville Police Department. There, Billy Ray and Lucky told the police what happened. An hour later, Billy Ray and Lucky returned to the farm with some Hopkinsville police officers, Kentucky State Police, and even 4 Army MPs from nearby Fort Campbell. The group searched the home, and all they found were bullet holes and scratch marks on the house. When they investigated the attic where June had had her encounter, there wasn't any pooled saliva on the floor. Billy Ray took them out to the well where the crash had happened. The Army MPs searched the area but said there was nothing but broken bottles and old junk. The police said that while it was obvious something happened to the family, there was no real evidence of what attacked them. Reporters came out to talk to the Sutton family and to Billy Ray and June. They got their story, but a detail got mixed up or changed. The reporters referred to the creatures as little green men instead of gray. The story spread like wildfire across the country, and everyone was talking about the attack on the Sutton house in Kelly, Kentucky. People said the little green men were aliens that crash-landed on the Sutton property. Others said it was a group of hungry barn owls that had become territorial and violent. The Sutton family moved out of the house the very next day. Whatever came that night, the Sutton family didn't want to be there if they ever decided to come crashing back. One more strange thing happened in Kelly, Kentucky, the night after the attack of the little green men. Locals said that they saw U.S. Air Force trucks with empty truck beds drive down the quiet roads of Kelly, Kentucky. They say the trucks pulled into the now-empty Sutton family farm. When the Air Force trucks left the farm, their truck beds were full and had tarps covering whatever was beneath them. The strange thing is, Fort Campbell is an Army base. There aren't any Air Force bases anywhere near Kelly, Kentucky. Only the Sutton family knows what happened that summer night in 1955. They would tell you if you asked. Aliens came to their home, and the family defended themselves. The end. So what'd you think of the story?
Silence.
Silence?
That means it was scary. That's what I mean.
Ooh. So what was scary about it?
Aliens attacked their house.
Yeah. What was the scariest thing about the aliens?
That they weren't really aliens.
What'd you think they were?
They're like big werewolves with like that. They were very strong.
Ooh.
With purple eyes.
I mean, anything's possible, I guess. So, this story has become unbelievably popular in American alien sighting lore. First off, let's talk about the little green man phrase. Prior to this sighting, flying saucer occupants were called little men. The day following the alleged sighting, however, local reporters started to call the creatures little green men, and the words were soon reproduced in many newspapers, quoted on the radio, and now we have little green men when we talk about aliens. What color are the little aliens in Toy Story?
Green.
Yeah, right? That's because of this story we just told. In the late 1970s, Steven Spielberg used the event as the basis for Night Skies, an unproduced science fiction horror film. The 1986 horror comedy film Critters is loosely based on the events.
Yes. Hey, I've got a connection.
Go for it.
So in the Kraken episode, which everybody's heard.
Of course, everyone's heard it. And if you haven't, go back and listen.
Remember when mommy told the story about Captain Nemo and his crew, they were attacked by 11 or 12 sea creature monsters.
Yeah. The Pokemon Sableye, introduced in Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, is based on the goblins described in the event. In the games, they are animated with a swaying or wading motion based on the creature's reported gait. In the Pathfinder role-playing game, a different version of something like Dungeons & Dragons, there are Hobkins, a type of gremlin from the Bestiary 5 book. It's based upon the goblins described in this event. So that's it. That's our Hopkinsville alien encounter. Did you like it?
Yes.
So thank you again to Elizabeth and Parker for today's suggestion. We really appreciate it. And if you have a suggestion as well for another episode, please send it to us on Instagram or feel free to shoot us an email. Thank you for listening. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been The Cryptid Catalog. Until next time.
The cryptids are watching.
Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beamesturfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beamesturfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grown-ups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.